Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see. If you think depression is all in a person's head, you're right. It's a brain illness. And like other illnesses, it has symptoms. A person suffering from depression might feel sad, empty, or numb. They might sleep more or less, eat a lot, or not at all, or show little interest in participating in ordinary activities. Mood swings, including anger and sadness, are common. They're often tired and have a hard time concentrating or making decisions. Depression can make those who suffer from it feel hopeless. It can even lead to suicide. If you see the symptoms of depression, get that person to a doctor. With medical help, depression can be treated and suicide can be prevented. Learn how to stop depression from taking another life. Call SAVE, Suicide Awareness Voices of Education, 1-888-511-SAVE, on the web at save.org.
We open our hearts to you. Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life. Life Conversations, committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be. Have courage, make that move.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting on the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Let's grab my towel. Wait. I'm coming to host the show, but let me grab my towel. Ooh, that was jamming. Let's see, Lisa was jamming too. Let me get towel for Lisa. Hey, Lisa.
Hey, Dave. How you doing?
I am good. Yes, good afternoon, good evening, good night, good morning, good day to you, wherever you may be at this very moment in time. Thank you for tuning into Life Conversations Radio, where change begins and you make a difference. You certainly do. You are listening to Ancestral Blueprints with myself, Life Coach Ade, and my co-host, Lisa Iverson. We started the show off with G.Y. Imata, and the name of that song is called Funga. We welcome you. We welcome the ancestors. We welcome all the love, all the compassion, because this thing called life, it's a beautiful experience. It's yummy. It's beautiful. So, you know, we need to bring the ancestors, because we can't do it by ourselves. We certainly can. And I want to welcome all of you in the chat room. Thank you for being here. We got Clarity, Kathleen. Thank you for bringing the clarity. We got Colby Buffington. Oh, Colby Buffington, X-Men. Okay, welcome, welcome. I know who that is. Yes, the complimentary part of Kefir. Not the better part, not the better half, none of that. It's the complimentary part of Kefir. And the silent listeners, thank you for being here. Joyful Tamar, Joy is in the house. Celeste is in the house. Michael, producer, is in the house. Betty Pegue, thank you. Yes, it's time for Ancestral Blueprints. Quick announcement. Next Wednesday, Betty Pegues and I will hosting Spiritual Tag Team. Make sure you tune in. And more importantly, as you listen to the show, follow the show so you can get regular updates, because things change by the moment. You know, that's just life. We live in the moment. So by following the show, you get regular updates. You can find us on Facebook. Life Conversations Radio has a fan page. And the new radio format, Ask Life Coach Ade, has a page, and it's simply Ask Life Coach at a page. So you can post your questions and comments on there, and Betty and I will get to your questions, and we'll share it on the show on Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday, so we answer your questions. So tomorrow, you're going to have another show, first week of the new show, Ask Life Coach at a. And, so that's it. G.Y. Imata, if you want to find out more about them, you can find them on Facebook, G.Y. Imata, and they have a website address. And for those of you saying, well, how do you spell that? It's G.I.W.A.Y.E.N.M.A.T.A. You start with a G.I. So if you didn't catch the spelling, just go to my Facebook page, look for my friends. Anything that starts with a G.I., pay attention to it. Not Gina, but G.Y. Okay? All right, let's get into the show, this whole thing about Ancestral Blueprints. Let's give you a backstory. Actually, before I give you a backstory, let's just check in. Let's check. What am I doing? I'm so ahead of myself. That dancing got me all excited. Lisa, how are you doing today?
I'm doing very well. Very happy to be here and looking forward to our conversation and how it's going to unfold today.
Yes, indeed. I am too. I'm feeling relaxed. I'm feeling less heavy than when we talked earlier. And there's something about expression. Before you and I talked, I was kind of just all this stuff going on in my mind. And some were deep thoughts, some were surface stuff, thoughts. And I was like, you know. But now I feel a little bit grounded, whatever that means. I feel like I know where I'm going. But we want to start today's conversation. Ancestral Blueprints, really. So we're going to talk more about that as we move on. But I want to go to Lisa's website, which is lisaiverson.com, Lisa, I-V-E-R-S-E-N.com. And early in the morning before the Conscious Parenting Show, I was just lying in bed and thinking of the show we're doing, Ancestral Blueprints, and different thoughts came up. And I was led, I just had this feeling, intuitive hit, to go look at Lisa's website. And there's a blog on there titled Bin Laden, Trauma Bond, and Mothers. And at first, you know, when I saw Bin Laden, I was like, I don't think I want to read that too early. Too early in the morning. I don't know if I'm going to go there because I know what I felt when all of that was happening. I was like, ah, why are you leading me to this? But I can't read it. Of course, because one, I know who the author is. So I know where she's coming from. I know that it was something that I can digest. It won't give me indigestion. Because some articles out there give you indigestion. You know, but some you can just digest naturally. And Lisa referenced an article which I actually read that was in the, I think it was the Huffington Post. And the title of the article was The Psychology of Revenge, Why We Should Stop Celebrating Osama Bin Laden's Death. And you can go to Lisa's website and bookmark it so you can read it later. But pay attention now because I don't want to lose you. I want to stay with us. We're going somewhere with this. We're going this. I'm going to do an Eddie Long. Watch this, watch this, watch this. We're going somewhere with this. So as I kept reading and just what Lisa was sharing, it's like, yeah, I really get this and the whole thing about celebrating. And, you know, I wasn't really drawn any conclusion with just experiencing Lisa's words and the things that she shared. And then she talked about Mother's Day and the mother, the feminist beliefs and the power of the mother. It got me thinking, you know, I really am, I find myself thinking the feminine energy is so powerful. And, you know, in the spiritual community, we say, well, it's just equally powerful. But there's a part of me that feels like the feminine energy got some juju, that feminine energy. And it's what is that energy is making itself known now, so much so that time seems to be going fast because time, there was a masculine side, and the creative just does what it does. So the feminine energy is just taking us through time. And we're like, oh, my God, it's been a month, it's been a year, it's been 2 years. Wow, can you believe it? So the feminine energy is really making herself known. And I was thinking about the power of a woman when mothers start really harnessing their power and stepping out and revealing that, and what kind of balance that will bring to the world we're living. And then there's a part here that I want to read that really got me thinking. Let's see. Let me go to the third paragraph to the last in Lisa's article. Lisa said, what is my response to Gerloff's blog post? Celebrating over bin Laden's death shows us how deeply the bond of trauma and war runs in America's soul. Where there is an experience of injustice, there is a bond. Persecutor and persecuted, terrorist and terrorized, murderer and murdered, one doesn't exist without the other. In all of these trauma experiences, bonding occurs, and the drive for the consequences of injustice to be seen is primal. She goes on to say, there are two images that come to mind when we think of bonding. The first is of babies bonding with their mothers, with their moms. The second is bondage, where there is enslavement instead of freedom. And I stopped. I want to read the last prayer. Well, actually, the prayer. Yeah, I'm going to read the prayer. I got to read the prayer. But when I read what Lisa wrote, which is the two images that come to mind, the first is of babies bonding with their parents, with their mothers, and the second is of bondage, where there is enslavement instead of freedom. I don't think I consciously made that connection between bonding and bondage. You know, it's like where one is. It's connection, as actually it's connection and it's freedom. And then there's another part where it's like you feel this lack of freedom. And Lisa said, my living prayer is for us all to listen to the voices of mothers more keenly and to see more clearly the ways in which the inheritance of unhealed war and trauma bonds influence our families and our nation. And it just really got me thinking. I'm saying, wow. You know, there's things here. So I want to throw it to Lisa, and not so much talking about war, and I'm not talking about war, Bin Laden, or anything like that, but more about the bonding aspect and the bondage aspect. But when I say that, Lisa, that's what's coming up for me, but I know, I sense that there's some other things bubbling up for you as well. So really, I'm just going to throw it over to you and just let it rip.
Yeah, boy, it's something to have your own words be read aloud. We should all have that experience because it puts us in contact, I guess, in another way that we wouldn't otherwise have. So I'm just kind of soaking in what that's like in this moment. And and as I'm doing that, what I find myself thinking about is how much these images both of bonding between moms and dads and babies, how these experiences of bonding happened or didn't happen in our families, you know, so not only in our own lives, but in the generations before us, how much those impact us still in ways that there's no way that our mind can be aware of. So I find myself thinking about that as I listen to what you just read. When I wrote that post, you know, it was around Mother's Day, so I was really pretty intensely just feeling all the stuff, all the energy that's there for us culturally around Mother's Day. And, you know, there's such a hallmark, the hallmark greeting card nature of the holiday is kind of what we primarily see. And, but, you know, if we look more deeply into the surface, it's this part of history that it really was about. It was the holiday came about partly because of mothers protesting their sons getting killed in war. And so, you know, throughout the generations, this keeps happening. So I know, you know, as I'm saying this, I can just feel the energy, like there can be this deep, heavy grief that could just suck us down into the ground, really, to be talking about this. But the task is, you know, well, if we don't talk about it, then it just keeps happening. That seems to be how history goes. You know, what we don't look at, we repeat.
Yes.
So
true.
Yeah, so that's the, you know, these are the things that I first start to really, you know, think about and feel as you say what you just read.
If you have any questions or comment, the number is 347-426-3346. 347-426-3346. And then as you were talking, I heard my own voice, my intuitive voice, that voice within, say, really, this whole thing about bonding and trauma and things, the grief that we feel is really about a soul experience, our soul seeking balance. And, you know, that's where I feel, because this morning, as I shared with you earlier, Lisa, it's like I find myself thinking about a lot of thoughts. You know, a lot of people in this, in the spiritual community, in the self-help community, myself part of that, where we're sharing possibilities, inspiration, and positive thinking, and helping people believe, sharing quotes that keep people saying, oh, I needed that. But there's also the opposite of that. And this has been going on for years and centuries where positivity is nothing new, you know. But sometimes when we look at the world that's out there, it sometimes seems like there's something missing. From an ancestral blueprints perspective, and maybe this is that part again where we just briefly explain what that means, because for me, I feel like every time we do this show, ancestral blueprints, what we're talking about is much more than words, but it does help to remind people what that means, because when people hear it, it triggers so much energetically that makes them say, what's that? So maybe let's talk about what we mean by saying ancestral blueprints, and then move from there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, well, that phrase, ancestral blueprints, is the phrase that makes sense to me to describe this map that lives inside of our soul, that's housed in our body, that describes the relationship from one generation to the next. And how that phrase came to me was through my experience with an approach to healing that's called the systemic family constellations. And that approach is primarily used with groups, although it can be used one-on-one as well. And it's an approach to healing that shows us really so vividly how much what happens in family life is still affecting us in ways that our minds really can't begin to see or understand. So the kinds of things that are particularly important through this lens have to do with when there have been people in our families who have not been talked about. Maybe they did something that was, caused a lot of shame or a lot of guilt, or, you know, they were scapegoated in some way. They become often not talked about in the family. Well, these family members still, they affect us, even if we never met them. So say there was somebody in our grandparents or in our great-grandparents' time and place when they lived. Or maybe it was them. You know, maybe we had a grandfather who did something that was, he was kind of, you know, seen to be not worthy of being in the family. Well, the deal is that in the family soul, he still has a place. Everybody has their own place of belonging in the family. Without each and every single person who's there, we wouldn't be here, we wouldn't be who we are. So there are principles like this that are operating in the family soul all the time that are affecting us. So those are the kind of things when we talk about ancestral blueprints that we're talking about. We're just not, as you've heard me say many times before, we're just not as original as we would like to think that we are. You know, we particularly,
that.
You know, in Western culture and in the States especially, we tend to think of ourselves as being so unique. And it's true, we are each person, you know, it's like a snowflake. There's no two snowflakes alike. There's no two people exactly alike. But what's also true is that we're in resonance with who and where we come from in some pretty deep, deep ways. So
yeah.
So that's in a really brief way, a little bit about what those words mean.
You know, you're listening to Ancestral Blueprints with Lisa Iverson and myself, Life Coach Ade. The number is 347-426-3346, 347-426-3346. Make sure you press 1 on your keypad so we can come to you. Lisa, as you were talking, I hearing the story of not eating from the tree of good and evil, which I interpret as the minute we start labeling something good and something bad, we become separated from the Creator, the Most High, the universal mind.
Mm-hmm.
And in the Western world, because there's this tendency to say we only want to focus on what is good. Because the minute I say I only want to focus on what's good, I'm actually acknowledging that there's something bad.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to only focus on the positive. I don't want to focus on the negative.
Mm-hmm.
But you need both the positive and the energy, the male and female, to give birth to a new idea, to a new life.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes in this self-help community, I think the soul conversation is usually missing. We say we are the one that create our reality. And we have all these sayings that we share with one another, and I'm not even saying that's not true, but it's almost like the life force that runs through me and you and all the others listening, the things that connect us all, is that soul experience that we are connected to our ancestors, even if we know them or not, even if my mother or was raped or not, if I'm not connected to that my biological father, that I am still connected to that soul, that life. That life is running through me. And
yeah.
I'm feeling in this space that
if we spend more time, if we start to have conversation and really look at it and study it and be with it and meditate on and about the soul, I think most of us can find ourselves in places that the society could be more a place where we can bond rather than feeling being in bondage. Because the soul experience is not always considered. It's not always talked about. And I know you shared it as well as a psychotherapist. You've shared on several shows about the what you've learned from being a psychotherapist and what people are looking for to family constellation, if you will. And with that, I just want you to share some more about the soul and the importance. But once again, your co-host, this is questions coming up for me. I'm asking you the question, but if there's anything else coming up for you, just do your thing, because we're going to let the flow, we're going to let the soul run the show, okay? So I have a question. How does, you know, just the whole thing about what the soul, the impact, the influence, the importance of the soul, yeah, that's the soul in flow, the influence of soul. But at the same time, where people look for that connection, that sense of bonding, that sense of community, and through therapists, through, you know, talk about, I got a dysfunctional family. You know, share your experience with us and what you know to be true for you right now.
Well, a few things I would say. I'm really grateful for everything I know from my experience as a therapist, and it's always a privilege and a blessing to be with people one-on-one in that setting. And what's also really clear to me is that therapy is not a replacement for ancestry. Therapy is not a replacement for tribe. It's not a replacement for family. It's not a replacement for the shamans and the grandmothers and medicine people. And so there is a way, again, particularly in Western culture, that and in the States, because of our history with immigration and slavery and Native genocide, you know, that the history of how this country came to be has meant that there's been quite a deep disruption in family. So there's been a disconnect that's happened in the family soul, that's happened in our country soul. So that's that bigger kind of underlying context for where psychotherapy fits in our culture. So I feel really clear about this, that again, it's a resource that can meet certain needs that are very helpful, but it is not a replacement for this other bigger landscape. So an example that comes to mind to really flesh this out, it comes from a group experience I had this week. I've got a weekly women's group that I lead. It's about ancestral wisdom for women. So it's a group for women to come into clear, compassionate place of belonging as daughters and mothers and sisters and grandmothers and nieces and aunts, this kind of a thing. So we had an experience this week where I led this group of women through a meditation of being in contact as a daughter with their dad. So the women in this group had an experience of with in their own quiet soul. So no words, just inside of themselves, being in connection with their dad. So I led them through this experience, and then I asked them to imagine that around them and their dads, that there was a circle of ancestors, and that the circle of ancestors were from both their mom's and their dad's sides of the family. Now, for each woman in this group, it completely changed the experience that they were having. It tapped into this knowingness that's there all the time, but that we, you know, for the most part in our day-to-day lives, we don't think or have permission or support to tap into. that landscape that's there in the soul. You know, ancestors are not just an idea. They're real, you know. And just that concept is quite a wake-up call. You know? Like, well,
it's not just
that?
An idea. They're real. Yes.
Exactly. So we can all just, you know, just this idea. For us as a daughter or a son to imagine sitting in a chair next to somebody in your family with whom maybe it's been, however it's been, maybe it's been an easy relationship, maybe it's full of lots of, you know, joy and ease and play, or maybe there's been some pain or some loss or some estrangement, maybe some of both, maybe it's been a whole range. But imagine sitting with this family member, and then imagine that around the two of you, there is a circle of ancestors who are completely whole and supportive of the two of you in your relationship with one another. I mean, what would, if we imagine, I mean, for me, I'm grateful for this conversation, because where I go, where I feel inspired is I think, well, what would that be like if, you know, we all just did this? Mm-hmm. Imagine we had 10 minutes. Everybody on this land did this for 10 minutes. What would come from that? You know, how would these images of bonding and bondage, you know, the good, the bad, the ugly, yeah, just like you were saying earlier, you know, the positive, mm-hmm, the negative, all of it. How would those images, what would come to light? What would be transformed? What would we see? What would we not want to see? What would we do with the impulse in the places where we didn't want to see what was there? How would we distract, mm-hmm, ourselves? You know, there's so much in that landscape. So,
yeah,
it's a rich one.
It is. And as you were talking, my mind, because if you know me, my mind is like this. It's like 10,000 miles a minute. And I said, okay, let me just listen to what this is saying and actually do it. And first, I think, well, what if I flip out and start having this spiritual experience live? And you just hear somebody cry in the back, I miss you, mommy. And I said, well, I think I would take the show offline and nobody would be able to listen to it. My mind went there first. It's that crying. I said, hey, are you there? Are you okay? And you trying to come all the way from Washington State to come be with me. But I quickly say, I mean, as I say, it seems like a long process, but thoughts is faster than that. But I saw myself sitting with my mother, who had made her transition about 2 years ago. And I said, no, my father's around, there's things. I said, no, just go with the first image. So I kind of sat with the first image and I was listening to you. And as I was seeing my mother, looking at her, visualizing my mother, just, I was looking at her, what came up for me was I found myself feeling some of the regrets, some of the things that I want to hear from her that I didn't hear. Regrets for me, what I think I did or didn't do. There was a sort of tense energy. And when you said now, sitting with whoever we're sitting with, is to envision that our ancestors are surrounding us. And for me, I felt this sort of an energy of acceptance, of love. It was much softer. There was no judgment. There was no criticism. I felt supported, you know. And it's an interesting thing because, you know, which makes me ask now as I talk, with my mother, there was a slight tense energy there. But when the ancestors, when I visualized them being around us, it was like, oh, okay, it doesn't have to be so difficult. You know, mm-hmm. And I think even in that minute, while I am hosting a show and listening to you and still going to that meditative part, which we can all do, we can still experience a healing in the moment. And but I can only imagine if I sit with that, with myself for 10 minutes. And then another thought comes up, which I want you to address when we come back. We're going to take a break. But what about people who just don't ever want to see or think about their mother again or think about their father again, their brother? They just don't want nothing to do with their family. They say, well, I understand you're saying therapy or community and tribes and that, but I just don't want nothing ever. I mean, I've heard people say, if I never see my family members again, I'll be happy. And, it's, you know, we can read self-help books, we can love ourselves, but the self is so connected. And if we're separated from one part of the self, then what? And I won't even answer my own question. I'll just leave it as that. Then what? So when we come back, I want you to address that for us, please, Lisa. You're listening to Ancestral Blueprints with Lisa Iverson and Life Coach Ade. Lisa's here every last Wednesday of the month, which is just like a minute away, really. You know, before you blink, she'll be back here again. Because that's what it's like for us. Like, oh, okay, it's the end of the month again. And if you have any questions or comments, number 347-426-3346. 347-426-3346. We are going to take a quick break and be right back.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting on the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations, committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be. Have courage, make that move.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Life Conversations works with people to increase their organizational and individual potential by assisting them in identifying habits, attitudes, beliefs, and expectations that hinder their performance professionally and socially. Life Conversations is committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be.
Life Conversations Radio.
Giving a voice back to the community. 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 To the community.
That's what it's about, giving a voice back. The voice. You're here to be the voice of God, the voice of the universe, the voice of the divine love. And if you're disconnected from any part of that vocal cord, the universe, then your sound may not be clear enough. So you have a choice. If you have any questions or comments, the number is 347-426-3346, 347-426-3346. And make sure you press 1 on your keypad. So before the break, I asked Lisa, what about people who just don't want nothing to do with their family, their ancestors, their grandparents? They're just like, I was born into the wrong family. I don't care what you tell me. I'll create a new community. I don't ever want to be connected with them. What would you say to someone who's thinking like that or feeling like, you just don't know, you don't know, you don't understand, Lisa, my family are evil?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you for asking that question on behalf of so many people who have that feeling. Couple things. It's important, I think, to honor what we do and what we feel around coping with pain and with loss. So, you know, that feeling, when that's there, it comes out of an experience of pain, of grief, of trauma, loss, these kind of things. So that's one piece. But another piece has to do with seeing that impulse to not want to have anything to do with one's family is often not original to that person, meaning that there's usually somebody, and sometimes many people, earlier in the family who felt that same way. So where that impulse to disconnect from family is really a continuation of a pattern of some kind. And that's the piece that we often, because we tend to focus so much on the individual and not as much on the group experience in our American culture, that's the piece that is an important thing for us to start to see, is that the impulse we have around family is often not only our own, but it's in connection with other people in our ancestries. So we might think it's our own idea to disconnect, but usually somebody else had that same idea. And it's also, this is the third part, it's also sometimes, often, in connection with somebody earlier in the family who was rejected. So maybe there was a grandfather, a grandmother, maybe there was a whole group of people who haven't been acknowledged in the family, who, you know, they weren't talked about, or they were kind of like those examples I was given earlier. So the impulse to not want anything to do with one's own family is sometimes a really, really unconscious, or what I would call a blind love's way of trying to get that earlier person in the family system recognized. So sometimes disconnecting from family is a deep, deep, deep blind love. It's actually the opposite of what we might, in our mind, think that it might be. So our mind would say, oh, you know, it's, you know, I don't care about them, or it was so painful, I don't want anything to do with them. The pain is real. But the movement to disconnect from them is an expression of love.
That's enough to just wrap up the show right now, but we're not going to
But, you know, I'm feeling so much freedom. We've had this conversation before, you and I. We've talked about it on the radio. And for me, we're going to take a call in a minute. For me, it's like when I listen to it, I feel so much, I feel light about it. You know, we talk about the dark nights of the soul, and we go through this period, and we don't even understand it. But when we think that the life that was flowing through our great-great-grandparents is moving through me, I can just sit with that. And to understand that some things, it's a soul experience. I can be gentle with myself. Because really, when we're passionate about something that we don't like, as you were saying, the opposite must be real. Because if you didn't like it and you're so passionate about it, there's something, there's an attachment, there's an attraction, there's something about it. You have to love something enough to not like it. Because admitting that you love it and care about it keeps you in connection with it. So if you're so passionate about it, I want to get away. There's something else there. And it's a different way of thinking, and some of you might have to listen to this show again and really get it. But really understand, I always say every criticism is a confession. Anything you're criticizing, you're compassionate about, you may want to see what you're really confessing. You can move from the criticism and say, wow, I just confessed something. And then surrender. Sometimes we may not have the answer of how to fix it, because there's really nothing to fix, but we can bring awareness to it. Lisa always says the soul is always seeking balance, always thinking to bring balance. And as one universal beings that we are, we're here to bring balance to the souls of love, of life, of humanity. So the question is, you can do your part. And if you don't, it's okay, because the next generation will take over. They'll continue the process. So God ain't tripping, or the universe ain't tripping. Let's take a call. Area code 949. Area code 949. Where is that? What's your name and where you calling from?
Hi, this is Joni. I'm in Orange County, California.
County, California. You said your name is Joan?
Joni.
Joni. Okay, great.
Yeah.
Welcome.
Can you hear me okay?
The blueprint. Yes, we can hear you loud and clear.
Okay,
what's your question?
Good. This whole subject just completely fascinates me. I just found, like, in my own family, there was, like, certain patterns and stuff that I didn't find out they were really patterns until you have to dig and really get in there, and all of a sudden you realize that, wait a minute, this has kind of gone down the genetic line. Yeah, and it's just like you're saying, the ones that maybe they don't talk about. It's like these hidden secrets a lot of times in families.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it comes to surface, at least when it came to surface, several ones in like my life with my children, it was sort of everybody was like, oh, wow, well, we've never had anything like that. And, you know, sort of like it just came out of thin air.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like I kind of take on all their it's like a scapegoating in a sense. And
mm-hmm.
yeah, and then once it all, it's like I've been the one in my family to kind of bring things out in the open and more truth and not make it horrible, just like this is truth. And,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, we've healed a lot, but this topic is just, you know, I see patterns in my family, you know, like my mother isolated, her grandmother isolated her, my great-grandmother isolated herself, you know, and then we have things with, you know, depression and when I was having a difficult time with one of my sons, I have three sons. One was just really going out of control, very angry, and had such a hard time with him. You know, the family's sort of like, you know, what did you do wrong? What's going on? You know, like something in my parenting. And then talking to my cousins, they each had one of their sons who went through the same type of issues, like completely. And then they all grew out of it.
I mean,
so I don't know what that means exactly, but it was really.
Well, that's good. I'm glad you said that because I was going to ask you something along that line, and then I'm going to let, I know this is going to add to it. But I want to ask you, just from where you are right now, from what you're sharing, just the awareness of what you know about your history, your ancestral blueprints, what insight do you have about yourself or your life right now?
Well, I guess for me, it came down to not just healing what I perceived as things that I've gone through in my lifetime that I need to heal and move on. I really had to go in and heal my family line. And yeah, and that was really powerful for me. I don't know exactly the work with the ancestral blueprint work, but it was something similar to, sounds a little similar, and it really helped me so much.
Yeah, this is Lisa. I so appreciate you calling in, Joni. It's just I can just feel it, you know, listening to you. It puts it into 3D a bit more, you know, what we're talking about. And it's really, it's so humbling, you know, when we see that what's going on in our own individual life has a bigger context, you know?
Where it is.
You know, like you're saying, where there's a pattern, it's there's a perspective that comes from that that is, it's humbling, and it's also a real adjustment for how it is that we think about our own lives. You know, it puts us, it puts us in connection. It puts just the recognition that what's going on is part of a bigger pattern. It puts us it puts us in contact with that map in a different way. And I tend to be a big fan of encouraging compassionate for pacing. You know, we tend to think in our fast-paced culture, and now with our technology that we have available to us, our sense of time, it goes so quickly. And it can put a pressure on people to think that they're supposed to have things figured out or healed or done differently. All these things, you know, much more fast than what's possible. So I just find myself thinking about that as you're talking, that there's a way I get a sense like you've got a good sense of pacing somehow with how this map is unfolding.
I went through like an incredibly horrible depression, like really bad. And once I went through that, I didn't know until at that time my dad told me how severe his was and that he was hospitalized. But I never knew that. So I'm wondering, is it sometimes where you are the one to heal the past generational pain that they didn't heal or deal with?
Yeah, great, great question. Sometimes, often what's happening in our lives is we feel... and again, we're not aware of it in the mind because it's happening in this deeper soul place. But we might be inclined to carry an illness or a life experience that we think is just of our own doing, but really it's a continuation of a pattern. And so that is happening much, much more than we have recognized in our cultural context. It looks
right
individual. So that you know, we're all shifting in our in the different ways that we are to see how much, oh, it's not of my own doing. As we're talking, I just want to, you know, say a little bit about the rates of illness and disease. You know, we keep track of all these statistics, you know, through Center for Disease Control. You know, what's the latest? Mm-hmm. How many people have diabetes and cancer and all
right.
these things? Mm-hmm. And I look at that and I think to myself, you know, there is an element of that that I wonder how much it has to do with. It's about a blind love to family, you know. It's about, oh, my grandmother had diabetes and my mom had diabetes. I'll have diabetes too. It's a way
yeah.
to deeply, unconsciously keep a sense of belonging in the family when there's
yeah.
an underlying
right.
thread that says, you know, to belong you have diabetes.
Yeah.
So
isn't that interesting?
Big things for us to look at together.
Yeah, definitely.
But you know what's funny about that too, Lisa, is even doctors know it. Scientists know it because when you go see the doctors, they say, "Do you have diabetes in your family? Is it
exactly.
in genes? Is it, you know, they that's how they put it.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's the same thing.
Exactly.
It's like, oh, do you have heart attack in your family? Oh, do you have
exactly.
cancer in your family? So they
yeah.
know about the ancestral blueprints. They may not call it that. So we are all connected to the wisdom of the universe. We just use different language and we classify
mm-hmm.
in different ways. You know.
We are, yeah.
Yes,
well, is your
yes.
do you have any training programs?
Training program in around the work that I do?
Yeah, yeah, to learn more about it. I know you have a book.
Yeah, why don't you go to my website and you can see, you can get a sample of, I've got two websites, the LisaIverson.com and then FamilyConstellationsWest.com. That's linked
okay.
with the Lisa Iverson one, and that'll give you a sense
mm-hmm.
of the kind of workshops and teachings that I offer.
Okay. Well, it's very
yeah.
interesting.
Yeah.
Really neat.
So glad,
and
for your call. Thank you.
Indeed,
yeah, well, thank you
indeed.
So much.
And before you go, Joan, I want to say this as well. With the awareness, you know, it's like the whole, there's this phrase that says, what you can be with won't let you be. So be aware that now that you are aware, the healing's already started. Don't make it become another extra work. Like, okay, I realized something else. I got to heal. Because all the soul is asking, all the love that we, it's really, life is about allowing the love. So with new
mm-hmm.
awareness, with insight and compassion, understanding what your son is going, what your son went through or your nephew went through, to just be able to say, oh, now I understand. So you can look at the whole thing through the eyes of compassion. That itself begins the healing process. Because all you're doing is healing is about to make whole. So
mm-hmm.
something, if we're not aware of something, there's a sense of feeling like something is missing. But when you become aware of it, it becomes I got the bigger picture. So you're already healing the process by bringing awareness to your ancestral blueprint. So don't make it be another spiritual to-do list.
Mm-hmm. No, I just absolutely, huge, huge point. You gave me chills because that's a huge point. It's like the awareness, with the awareness, the healing already begins. So thank you
yeah.
so much.
Mm-hmm.
You're very
all
welcome.
Best
to you.
Okay,
yes, indeed. Thank you, Joni, for that. You're sharing it with us because other people are feeling it. They may think of calling in or not, or say, well, let me keep listening, but you represent everybody else that's feeling the same thing. That's just the way it is. We're all part of this one consciousness. We're all connected. If you're feeling it, someone else listening to this radio station and listening is feeling the same thing. So thank you for the gift, for bringing awareness to us. I mean, Lisa, when Joni was speaking, I was feeling light. I was feeling the sense of, you know, there's something about that. So we're getting ready to release the show. Anything else you want to share with us, Lisa? Last comment or thoughts, ideas, concepts, whatever, inspiration, nothing or everything.
Yeah, well, lots of gratitude for you, Ade, and for Joni, and for everybody who's been in this conversation, and that image that you and I spoke about earlier this morning. I wanted
mm-hmm.
to just bring in now this idea that in our conversation that there's perhaps a circle of ancestors around all of us in this conversation with each other, that have been here to bless and to be with us in this time with each other. So I'm grateful for that image as well. And I look forward to next time, as always.
Indeed, indeed. Well, I just got a note from my co-producer. He was saying that your website is saying not found. So those of you who are clicking it now, if you can't find, I mean, I went there earlier and there was no problem. It's just, I think it's just what it is. Lisa Iverson. Yeah, that's spelled right. But if just what can I say? If you, there's another website, it's Family Constellations West. Family Constellations, as in the stars, familyconstellationswest.com. That will take you there. Or just Google Lisa Iverson. Lisa's last name is I-V-E-R-S-E-N. See, if I spell it without looking at it, I'll say it probably. If I start looking, it's Lisa Iverson, I-V-E-R-S-E-N. And
yep,
that will take you to her site. And but if you're getting not found, It's just you know, just bring awareness to it. You will find it. You're already connected to Lisa.
Yes.
Lisa, thank you. I am so grateful for your essence on this planet, for who you are. I keep telling you, I'm eternally grateful that I know you, that you're my friend, and just the opportunity to have this kind of conversation and, you know, to bring awareness and healing, if you will, for others. And to just remind ourselves that be gentle with yourself. Life was here before you, and it's going to be here after you're gone. We're not the manager of this universe. We just do our part, be gentle, be compassionate, and let life do what life does. Lisa, thank you very much, and I look forward to our next conversation, be it on the phone or on the radio.
Absolutely.
And, yes, thank you.
Have a
wonderful day. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Peace and blessings. We're getting ready to release the show. There's a comment in the chat. Let's see if I can read that. She said, Tamara said, my mom wanted me to get the genetic test for breast cancer because she had it. I refuse. Why? Why look to a test and then worry? That's what Tamara said. Yeah, let me read that again. Tamara said, my mom wants me to get the genetic test for breast cancer because she had it. I refuse. Why look to a test and then get worried? You know, and it's about awareness, you know. If as Tamara is saying, she feels like, if I go do that, I'm going to be worried. Why would I want to do that? Why would I want to torture myself? Some of you, you may want to do that. We're not telling you don't do something, but it's simply about awareness. It's about everything that we know of, scientists, therapists, life coach, life coaches, ministers, and good friends, a good mentor, we're all here to serve one another, and it all has its place. And when you bring balance to it, we can all breathe. No one is better. None is better than the other. When we start doing that, that's when we get separated. That's when we get disconnected. Thank you. I'll be back tomorrow, 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, for Ask Life Coach Ade. And you can email your questions. You can go to lifecoachade.com, lifecoachade.com, that's lifecoachade.com, or you can go to the Facebook page for the show, Ask Life Coach Ade page. Like it and put your questions, because I know you're going to like it. You already like it because you listen to the show. So if you listen to the show, you like it. And also, you want to follow the show, the radio station, by clicking the follow button on Blog Talk Radio, so that way you get regular updates. Make sure you check out Lisa's website, familyconstellationswest.com. She can work with you on the phone. She can come to your city, your town, wherever you are, your country. You know, she works in groups, one-on-one, and you heard her energy. I don't need to say no more. She's a compassionate healing agent, and be the change you want to see. And speaking of which, let's see what song we're going to go out with. I'm feeling a mellow song, a song that is just soothing to the soul. All the songs I play are soothing anyway, but let's see one that jumps at me. And if you're listening to the show for the first time, I'm here Monday to Thursday, 12 to 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So just bear that in mind. I'm on Facebook as well. And my God, who said men can multitask? I'm talking and looking and searching and trying to make it sound so fluid. But don't work too hard.
Oh, I like this one. This is called Small World.
Yeah, let's support one another. Let's love one another. Doesn't matter if we believe the world is coming to an end. Doesn't matter if whatever it is. It just let's support one another. This is Julie Dexter. It's a Small World.
And the more we bring awareness to our lives, the smaller the world becomes. We love you, we bless you, we appreciate you, and we thank God for you. Find out more about Julie Dexter by going to her website, juliedexter.com. Small world. Peace and blessings.
Regret it. Don't regret it. Keep on learning.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.